Folks, looks like we have about a minute to start, so if everybody will head in here and get a seat, we're going to start opening up a new venture this morning. We're going to be going through the parables, and you know, it is such a blessing to teach. I count this an honor. I count it a joy. I thank God constantly for allowing me to teach. Because when you teach, you've got to get in and you got to dig it out. You got to, you know, put the lesson together, you know, research it out and stuff. And when you put that kind of time into it, and it does take some time, it is such a blessing because all of a sudden, you just find, now a lot of times God works me over. I get worked over before you guys ever get the lesson. And so he's already worked me over with it, but it's so rich to go in and just dig out the depths, you know, deeper than what I would be doing it otherwise. And it's such a blessing. I count it a joy. Well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you for, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we can study it, we can learn it. And Lord, help us to all have open hearts this morning as we take a look. We begin in the parables now. And Lord, it's just, they're so rich. And Lord, there's so much there. And anyway, I pray that you'll give me wisdom, Lord, that anything I say is not going to be untrue. I pray that I can present it in a way that's understandable to the class. And Lord, that we will apply the truths that we can learn in this. And Father, thank you. Your word is so rich, it's so wonderful. And thank you for it. So be with us this morning and guide and direct our thinking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, like I say, we're getting ready to begin the parables. We're going to be in that for probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe more. You got to keep bouncing back and forth between the gospels. We're using all 4 gospels as we're going through Jesus' journey to the resurrection, and it's just it's been a blessing for me to teach this, and I've enjoyed it immensely. So anyway, so kind of a leading into the parables here. It's called Jesus' Galilean Tour of Parables. So, okay, Jesus is accompanied on this tour by his disciples and some women who were a vital part of this segment of his ministry. The thing that characterized this tour was characterized by the giving of parables. A parable is a story that Jesus told to illustrate a spiritual truth. He began with a truth that they were familiar with and then laid it alongside an unfamiliar spiritual truth to teach a lesson. Another definition of a parable is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The parables of our Lord are so to describe the kingdom in the time between his crucifixion and his second coming. And that is describing the day in which we live today. We're in this time where the parables are going to be referring to this age, you know, in the biblical calendar. So to start off with, we're going to start off with the parable of the sower. It's been a very familiar parable and just a lot of depth and a lot of good truth in it. So we're going to go ahead and read that, and we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Better get there myself. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll be reading verses 3 through 9. Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Get there. Man, I got to keep flipping pages. That chapter 12 is kind of long. Okay. So who would read those verses for us this morning? Delbert?
The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up. But because they had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. To 9, right?
Yes, okay, yes. I was thinking you're supposed to go on, but you're not. You finished right. Okay. So in verse 3, it starts off, it says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." Okay, pretty simple. And he's speaking here in terms that they can understand, okay? A farmer whose responsibility was to sow seed in his plowed field went out to do just that, okay? But we notice that the seed could fall in 4 different places. Okay, the first place in verse 4, first place where the seed fell, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the wayside, or literally on the road or the path, okay? And the fowls came and devoured them up. So to kind of zero in on this a little bit, in ancient times, people traversed the countryside walking everywhere they went or riding on an animal. And they had to go through the fields. The fields were basically bordered by beaten paths. Okay? The paths that they're talking about, the road here, they were normally only about 3 feet wide so that not an undue amount of land was wasted on pathways. I mean, the paths would wander, and then you'd have a field just bordering right on the edge of the path, 3 feet wide, something like that. Okay? Seed falling on the hard pathways could not penetrate it. That's packed down hard. Animals, people walking down these paths. It would just lie there until the birds came and ate it. Okay? Verse 5. And the second kind of soil is rocky. Okay, some fell on stony ground, okay? And it tried to burrow down into the ground, but it didn't have much soil. And because the roots couldn't penetrate it, it dried up and died. The third soil, verse 7. It says, "And others fell among the thorns of the weeds." Okay? And the thorns of the weeds came up and choked them out. Okay? Weeds. Aren't weeds wonderful? So, okay. And then verse 8, it says, "The fourth soil, that is good soil." Okay? And that yielded a crop, but the crop it yielded was in varying degrees. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. The yield varies because the nutrients in the soil vary from place to place. So now let's kind of sum this up, okay? Jesus sums it up. He says in verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that's kind of a wake-up call that Jesus has given here. We don't really see it as that, but it is. Hey, you need to pay attention to what this thing says, okay? The growing opposition to the message of Jesus caused him to adopt this new method of teaching, namely, teaching in parables. So, why does he say he taught in parables? Okay, so we're going to just pause there for a minute. There's an interlude here. And folks, I'll tell you what, as we go into this, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 17. I want you to gird up your loins and get a firm grip because we're going to take a ride right here. Okay, and so this is going to be something that's, anyway, enough said. So who would read Matthew 13, 10 through 17 for us? Pastor?
"And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
Okay, you're...
That's twice now. I keep waiting for you guys to keep going on, and you're done. Okay. So basically, Jesus is saying here that... Well, I'm not going to add to it. I'm just going to stick with my notes here. Okay. There you have it, folks. Jesus is saying to some, it is given. To others, it is not given because... As it says in one of these verses here, because they might understand and be saved, is what it's basically saying. Okay, it's verse 15. I'm just going to reread this. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed. Now here's what I'm referring to. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It is closed to those people. And again, folks, we talk about, well, there you have it. You can take all these fancy words that we argue about, you know, the election, the choice, God's sovereignty, free choice, the elect, God's foreknowledge, free will. Throw all that stuff together, okay? But in here it says, to you it's revealed, but to those it is not. Okay? And that's why Jesus is speaking in parables. And again, a lot of times they'll ask, what's this mean? Jesus dismisses the crowd, and then he gets with the group, and then he explains it to them, but not to the others. They don't get the explanation. Okay? And again, it's speaking of God's sovereignty. He can do whatever he wants to do. And yet there is the free choice. There is this, that, and the other, but God's foreknowledge, anyway. We can take these words, throw them in a bag, and shake them up and pour them out, and there you have what it's talking about. All this talk about election, foreknowledge, choice. I just wrote down here, Selah. That's the word that was used in the Psalms a lot. It just means pause, stop, think about this, consider it. You know, listen to it. Those who are saved should be rejoicing, thanking and praising God that we are not a part of the other group. None of us deserve to be saved. Nobody. Okay? It is only by God's grace and mercy that we are. Because we could have been part of that other group. He could have chosen the other person instead of us. Folks, where would we be today if we weren't saved? What would our life look like? I shudder at the thought, okay? He could have chosen the other person instead of us. After this little interlude, telling them how privileged they were to have these explanations, which he gave to them and not to the crowds. Okay, now we pick it back up in verse 18. And now he's going to go ahead and explain the parable, what it means. So let's go ahead and read verse 18 through 23. And who'd read that for us? Brad?
Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and taketh away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth not. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and careth for this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some of the hundredfold, some 60 and some 30.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Okay, in this parable, you have an unresponsive heart, an impulsive heart, a preoccupied heart, and a well-prepared heart. And so now we're going to kind of go through and explain what all these verses mean. Okay, all the listeners are saying, okay, the group of people here, they're farmers, okay, for the most part, okay. The listeners are saying, I understand that. My family has been farming for years. Jesus says, let me tell you what I'm trying to say in that parable. So again, he talks about earthly things. Now he's going to put the spiritual emphasis on it. Let me take even what is obvious and let me tell you what I'm talking about spiritually. The parable doesn't say anything at all about the sower. It just says a sower went out to sow. That's all it says, okay? Verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. So basically, the seed is the word of the kingdom, the word of God. So a sower's going out, sowing the seed. In other words, it's basically referring to a preacher, a teacher, anybody that's sowing the seed, going out spreading the seeds. The seed is the word of the kingdom, the word of God. What is that? That's the message about how to get into God's kingdom. In Luke 8:11, Luke records this same parable, and Luke adds the seed is the word of God. Luke nails it down more than Matthew does, okay? So the sower is anyone who sows a seed, preaches the message. Anyone. That can be you, me, pastors, evangelists, anybody, okay? First of all, it was Jesus. Then it was, those who sold the seed, okay? First of all, it was Jesus. Then it was all the apostles. Then it was Paul. And now it's us. We are supposed to be seed sowers, okay? And we just drop that precious seed. That's our calling. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So the parable is all about presenting the gospel, the good news of how to get into the kingdom, how to get into heaven, okay? And that brings us to the main emphasis of the parable, which is the soils. That's the main emphasis of this. And this is where it really begins to make an important sense to us as we take a look at the soil, okay? So that verse goes on to say, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and then the second part is here, and understandeth it not. Okay? This is the first one. This is a seed that fell by the wayside. This is the unresponsive heart. It falls by the wayside. When anyone hears the good news about salvation, as does not get it, comprehend it, or understand it, the evil one comes, snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. Okay? A lot of times people come to church service. You know, they hear the word, they get up and they leave and they never want to come back again. Okay? It was unresponsive. It didn't even reach them. Okay? This is the one on whom the seed was sown on the road. Now he's going to explain what it means when it falls on the road. That's a hard-hearted person. The stiff-necked person. The resistant person. The proverb, that's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. There's no response to the gospel whatsoever, okay? It also tells us that the soil, what the soil is, because it says in verse 19, that which was sown in his heart. That's what it says in verse 19 here. So in other words, the soil is referring to the condition of the heart. The heart condition of the hearer. And so this person, he comes to church service, he hears the word of God, not impressed, gets up, walks out, leaves, he's done. He's gone. Okay? The soil is the heart. The sower is anyone who presents the seed. Again, the soil is the heart. The basic truth of this parable that Jesus taught here is this. The results of the hearing of the gospel always depend on the condition of the soil, not the skill of the sower. Okay? The condition of the soil, the condition of the heart of the hearers. Okay? It's the character of the hearer that determines the effect of the word on them. If someone hears the gospel and turns their back and walks away, it doesn't say anything about the seed. That doesn't say anything about the sower or the seed. Okay? It all boils down to the condition of the heart of the hearer. It says everything about the soil, their heart. The soil was beaten hard. The seed can't penetrate. And then the birds fly down, eat the seed, and what's left gets trampled. It has no, there's no root, there's no sprout, nothing. Okay? In one brief little idea here, you have the preaching of the gospel and a self-destroying rejection of the gospel. And in an opportunity for Satan to move in. In one simple little picture, the analogy is powerful. And there are many, many hearts like this. Folks, the majority of people are not going to heaven. We just talked about that, Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Talk about entering the straight gate. Few there be that find it in the narrow gate, okay? I hope there's no one in this room like that. I hope you do not fall in that category. I hope so. The gospel's open if you're a rejecter. Maybe you come to this, and the seed is spread here, but it bounces off and disappears. Has your life been hardened so that the powerful, productive seed of God's word can never penetrate it? I hope not. But folks, that describes me for a long time. Sitting under the solid gospel preaching for 2 years before I trusted Christ, I was hard-hearted. I came, I listened, but I was not willing to respond. And I'd turn and I'd walk away. But God kept drawing me back. I am so thankful for that. Thank you, Lord. You know. Okay, now we move on to verse 20 and 21. I'll go ahead and read them. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also is gone. Now there is a second kind of soil, and that is the rocky soil. This is a person who hears a word and immediately receives it with joy. Wow! That's good stuff. That's great. That's good stuff, okay? Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Okay? Now, they hear the word in church, they walk out, they're excited, they say, wow, this is for me. And yet they come along and all of a sudden they meet the ugly world out there and some friends get to mock him or whatever. And all of a sudden he decides, hey, this isn't for me after all, okay? Here's a person who has shallow faith. On the surface, hey, this is great. I'm in. Count me in. Where do I sign? I like this. This is wonderful. But just exuberant emotional joy, excitement, and enthusiasm does not necessarily indicate true faith. Somebody coming off of a problem, coming out of a dilemma, a disaster, coming out of being wounded or hurt by somebody in their life, okay? Looking for a new group, looking to belong, wanting answers, wanting help, reaching up to the nearest skyhook. People in desperate, I need some relief, you know? I need a quick fix, okay? And when they're told this, the answer is there is an exuberance. You know, they're excited. You know, they've heard the message. You walk out and boy, you'd, You know, you walk out, if he's your friend, you think, wow, this is great. This guy, boy, he's saved, or he's going to get saved, you know. And we might even say, wow, look at that joy. That person's real. But you can have joy without commitment to the King. The roots are real short. It is not necessarily the deep, thoughtful, profound joy of a devoted heart. It looks like they're growing spiritually, but the next thing, they're gone. What happened was they looked like life was just a brief spirit, but the roots couldn't go anywhere. And affliction and persecution because of the word caused them to fall away. As affliction arises, you know, all of a sudden they get hit with something, you know. And, you know, maybe family member, whatever, girlfriend, boyfriend, they fall away. They never realize that. To be a Christian could cost you something. Folks, the Bible says to live the Christian life, you're going to face tribulation. And as soon as a little bit of tribulation hits, they're gone. It could cost you a relationship. It could cost your own family or some friends to turn against you. You know, the wicked world out there, the devil's out trying to seek whom he can devour. Okay? This guy got all excited when he first went to church, but now tribulation hits and he's saying, whoa, I don't know if this is for me after all. And he's gone. Folks, there's a real price to pay to live the Christian life. There is a struggle. And you all know what I'm talking about, okay? It's the most joyous life there is, but it is a cross-bearing life. And when there was some pressure, they couldn't handle it. There was just no real root in them. You can't always tell these people initially. Folks, that's why we need to give it some time. You know, we think somebody's saved and make a profession of faith. That's why we're better off to call it a profession of faith rather than saying they were saved. We don't know if they were saved. It looks good on the outside, but we don't know their heart. They could be one of these people that we're talking about right here. But you see, trouble and persecution are very helpful in a way. They do two things. They strengthen believers and they manifest non-believers. It strengthens believers. The unbelievers, they're gone. Trouble and persecution will show you who's real and it will strengthen God's own. I remember Nancy, she always used to say, she used to work with kids a lot. And she says, you have got to be so careful with children, you know, because you can talk a young child into anything. And you can talk a young child into saying the sinner's prayer. Okay? And they'll say it, you know. And they maybe don't understand for sure what all's going on. But the bad thing of it is, she says it would make them spiritually immune in the future. Is what happens. You confront them with the gospel, and the kid, he's living like the devil, okay, but you know, later on in life, but he said, I remember the time in that Sunday school class where I recited the prayer. I prayed the sinner's prayer. And you guys teach that once saved, always saved. So I don't have to worry about it. I'm good. And that is something, so we got to be very, even with not always little kids, but adults. A lot of times we want to try to rush into getting them to say the sinner's prayer. And a lot of times, if a person is not serious, if they don't mean business with God, don't say the prayer. Don't say it. Don't say it till you're ready, until you mean it. Verse 22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is number 3, okay, on the weedy ground. The one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns of the weeds, who's that? That's the one who hears the word of God with a receptive attitude. Wow, this is good, okay? But then, the worry of the world. They're into the spirit of the age, okay? They're into worldly stuff. They're into their career, their personal environment, their friends. They're into all this stuff. And after a short time, say, you know what? I just don't have time to go to church. I'm too busy. I got a job to do. I got this to do. I got that to do. And all of a sudden, you know, they started off on fire. They started off looking good. But then they get bogged down with the worldly pleasures and stuff like that. And they have to give up some of the things that they, sinful practices that they love, you know, and they don't want to give that up, okay? And so after a while, they walk away. They're into whatever they're into, and that's a dominating deal in their life, okay? I got my life to live, and your religion's interfering with what I want to do. And you're telling me to not do some things that I want to do and tell me that I need to be doing some things that I don't want to do. I'm not interested. It looked good for a while, but hey, goodbye. And probably the compelling reason is he's in it because of riches or prestige that's available to him. The world's got a lot to offer. The world looks good out there. Okay, and I'm better off if I start trying to live the Christian life. I mean, if I got to start testifying about the Lord, this, that, and the other, I'm going to get rejected. It's not worth it. I'm out of here. And probably the okay, so the combination of the system itself, the world system that we live in, the world in which he has found himself. And the deceitful allurement of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. They started off on fire and then they withered up and died on the vine. The soil appears good. Even maybe a certain sense of desperation, they appear to come to Christ. But there's other stuff in there that's never been really cleaned out. It isn't that you have to clean it, it's just that God has to pull it out and bring you to a place of repentance for it. And some people don't want to repent and turn from their evil ways. They want to keep on. They love their sin. Okay? This is a double-minded man who's not going to receive anything from God. James said, he's trying to serve God and money, the deceitfulness of riches. You can't serve both. The pressure is on and they're bailing out. They're going to walk away. Remember what James said, that if you're the friend of the world, you are the enemy of God. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Verse 23, but he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some is 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And the one on whom the seed was sown is a good soil. This is a person who hears the word and understands it, and he gets it. And he bears, he produces a crop, okay? And bears fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. Folks, we're not all going to bear the same amount of fruit. There is different levels, you know, of grace that God gives us. He gives talents out, some one talent, some two, some five. You know, there's different things about the different degrees of talents. And we're held accountable on the amount of talent that God has given us. How are we using it? Folks, I'm sorry. Okay. And bears, okay. This is a fruitful hearer. They understand the word. Mark 4, commenting on the same parable, says, he accepts the word, they take the gospel in. There is a genuine repentance. There's a genuine plowing of the Spirit of God in the heart, plowing out those noxious weeds of his former life. Okay? And here's some deep soil that can reach down, not a rock bed of selfish resistance, and they produce fruit. The roots can sink into the good soil. Okay, and it does. Now, not every Christian produces the same amount of fruit. They're not all the same. Okay? Like I've said many times, I'm not a Billy Graham, okay? I can't look to him. I can't get all frustrated because I can't teach like him. God, we have to use the talents that God has given us to the best of our ability. And some of us, we get 30-fold, others get 60, others get 100, okay? But we got to use what we got and use it to honor the Lord. And he will reward us according to the amount of fruit bearing that he has given us. And he gives that by his choice, okay? There were different conditions in the soil that caused different levels of fruitfulness in the crop. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives, okay? We all can't be pastors, okay? We all can't. God didn't call us for that. And if he doesn't, don't try to be something that God hasn't called you to do. But then do what God has called you to do, okay? All of us, okay? We're to use the talents that he has given us for his honor and for his glory. Even if it's a little bit, we'll use your little bit, okay? We all bear some fruit. Some bear just some fruit. Some bear more fruit. Some bear much fruit. But we all bear fruit, okay? That's the distinguishing mark of believers. So a lot of times, here's the question, what is fruit? What is fruit? And just different verses in here, I'm just going to touch on just a small listing of them. But the fruit of influencing others for Christ, Romans 1:13. Influencing others for Christ. The fruit of holy living, Romans 6:22. The fruit of giving, Romans 15:28. The fruit of a godly lifestyle, Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of good works, Colossians 1:10. The fruit of praising and thanksgiving, Hebrews 13:15. These are all fruits, you know. And I always think of this song that Wanda sings, okay? If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. And God gives us things. There's other places where it talks about where we go and visit the sick. We visit the homeless. Folks, that's fruit. That's good fruit. You know, and you don't have to necessarily be preaching. Just doing good, kind deeds for other people. That's fruit. And God's watching. And that's where we're going to receive the blessings in the wood, hay, stubble, you know, gold, silver, precious stone judgment. We're all, as Christians, we're all going to be judged according to our works. And that judgment is a judgment of rewards. It's not any kind of a judgment of punishment. It's a judgment of reward. God is wanting to give out rewards to those who have been faithful, and you'll carry those rewards that he gives us in that judgment, carry that for eternity. You were bearing fruit this morning when you were singing, not from your mouth, but from your heart, through your mouth. Okay? We can sing hymns. God loves that. You know, that's bearing fruit. And Paul wrote to the Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. And we all know these: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Folks, I mean, self-control. You know, these are fruits. These are fruits that God is watching, and we're going to be blessed on that. And anyway, so we have an action fruit and an attitude fruit. You know, a lot of times I have to struggle with attitude, you know. And what do you think about things? And that is all produced in our life. And it differs from person to person by the fact that there is a different level of devotion, different soil, okay? And in some cases, perhaps a different capacity by God's design. God gives us the talents that he's given us. He gives us the abilities to do things, but he expects us to use it for his honor and for his glory. But there's fruit, okay? We should all be bearing fruit of some sort, okay? Now let's draw this in conclusion. Here's what it says. There's no discussion here of the sower. Okay? So anybody will do. Okay? Anybody out here, we're all sowers. All of us. Okay? We're sowers. That's what we're called to do. There's no discussion here of the seed. Okay? The seed is the Word of God, the gospel. The Word of God, that's the seed, okay? The only issue here is the condition of the soil, the condition of the heart. That's what this parable is about, condition of the heart. Folks, we all need to ask this question. Of these four hearts described here, which one describes us? Which one describes, I have got to ask that question, which describes, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I using my talents for God? We all need to ask these questions, okay? If it's not the last one, there might be some here that's stony ground or, you know, been choked out. And there might be some people here that's still struggling to become a Christian like I did for years, okay? If you're not the last one, ask God to change your heart. Ask God to change your heart. Lord, I've been playing church. I've been pushing the right buttons. I've been coming. I've been putting money in the collection. I sing in the choir. I teach Sunday school class. But again, you can do that as an unsaved person. And anyway, few there be that find the narrow way. If it's not the last one, ask God to help you change your heart. Believers, God used someone who shared the gospel with us, and we had the opportunity to respond, and we are thankful for that, okay? Aren't you thankful that somebody gave you the gospel, and you responded? Aren't you thankful? I mean, wow, thank you, Lord. God gave us the faith to respond. We need to respond by throwing seed ourselves. Somebody told you, we need to be telling others. Don't go through your life with one seed saying, then we should be thinking, I'm waiting to see where this goes. Stand back and see where God takes it, okay? Don't just throw one seed, okay? Throw many seeds. Start throwing seed in every direction and you're more likely to hit good soil. That's what we're here to do. And our time is up. We have two minutes. But we're getting ready to move on now to the next parable. And better see that there's not something else to... From man's viewpoint, the work of God in the world looks like a failure. Okay? It looks like the devil's winning the battle. Turn on the news. Okay? It looks like the devil's winning. Most of the seed sown does not produce a harvest. That's what the Bible says, okay? The harvest, however, does not come until the end of the age, in verse 39, and then it will be then that we will discover how much God's message has accomplished. And anyway, any questions or comments on anything we've covered so far this morning? Our time is, we've got a half a minute. Well, John's not here, so I guess we don't. Okay, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us understand this parable of the sower. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone in this room that is not good soil, their heart is not good soil, I pray, Father, you'll convict them. Lord, I pray that you'll make them miserable until they come to Christ. Lord, burden their heart with the knowledge that if they don't receive Christ, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. Lord, the stakes are so high. Father, I just pray that if there's one, Lord, that you'll just convict them, work on their hearts, make them miserable, Lord, till they come to you. Father, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor this morning as he brings a morning message. I pray, Father, that we'll receive it, that we'll have good soil for the sermon he's preaching this morning. I pray that it will reach good soil, that it will produce fruit. as we live out our daily lives. I pray, Father, that you'll use him to speak to us. Just open our hearts to the message you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Charlotte's got something to say.
Ladies are singing.
Ladies are singing.